From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, thank you very much, Randy. I want to devote this special broadcast to the subject of Islam. Why? Well, because recently my wife, Kathy, showed me a clip of Joe Biden speaking to a million Muslim vote summit, a summit hosted by the Muslim American Political Action Committee, and telling them that he wished U.S. schools taught more about Islam. He went on to designate the Islamic faith as one of the great confessional faiths. What was particularly stunning about his speech is the emphasis that he placed on his own personal theological acumen. He made clear that he was not speaking as an average Joe, but rather as an avid student of theology, including Muslim theology. As a self-proclaimed student of theology, Biden, of course, knows that while there are peaceful and tolerant Muslims, the history of Islam demonstrates conclusively that it is neither peaceful nor tolerant. Moreover, he is intimately acquainted with the reality that Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of law that mandate violence against the infidel. This is a historical reality, and it is so from the early 7th century Medina massacres to the 21st century Manhattan massacre, and I might add beyond that. Because one might consider that scarcely 2 years after the death of Muhammad, Muslim hordes massacred multiple thousands of Christians in Syria, and a year later massacred monks in the monasteries of Mesopotamia. And during the next 300 years, Islamic imperialists succeeded in subjugating two-thirds of the Christian world. That includes Palestine, where Christ was born, Egypt, where monasticism was birthed, and Asia Minor, where the early Christian church first flourished. By the Middle Ages, the Muslim menace had become so acute that despite the schism of 1054, Emperor Alexius of Constantinople implored the Western pontiff to come to the aid of the beleaguered Eastern Church. Thus it was that in 1095, Pope Urban II formulated the First Christian Crusade. And while historical revisionists have cynically recast crusades as an imperialistic venture, that was hardly the intent. In any case, the relief spelled by Christian crusaders was short-lived. In 1244, Muslims regained Christian holy sites and murdered thousands in Caesarea, put thousands more to the sword in Antioch, and sold tens of thousands into slavery. With the dawn of the 14th century, the Crusades had become history, but the Muslim horror had not. The massacres perpetrated by Muslims in India, for example, are unmatched in history, larger statistically than the Holocaust or even the massacre of the Armenians by the Turks. In consideration of Joe Biden's contention that Islam is good and peaceful, the Ottoman Empire begs consideration. While it reached its zenith in the 16th century, its most notable atrocities are of recent vintage. Biden might rightly remember Adolf Hitler's genocidal mania, but reflects regrettable amnesia respecting Abdul Hamid, Abdul Hamid, who initiated his ethnic cleansing policies at the turn of the century by systematically slaughtering 300,000 Armenians. By the time World War I broke up, the Muslim leadership of Turkey had committed itself to eliminating the whole of the Christian population. Their Turkey only for the Turks mantra morphed into massacre with the ethnic cleansing of 1.5 million Christians. Among the most noteworthy casualties was the extermination of the historic city of Smyrna. Conquering Turks went house to house, murdering, looting, pillaging, raping. All told, by 1923, that's less than 100 years ago, 3.5 million Christians had been exterminated. Other Muslim atrocities cry out for elaboration, including the grotesque martyrdom of scores of Christian clergymen during the Armenian genocide. Beheadings were so rampant that grieving Greek women carried baskets filled with the severed heads of their loved ones. Ironically, it was Hitler himself who cynically anticipated the collective amnesia of the modern world. After all, said Hitler, who remembers the extermination of the Armenians? Who, for that matter, remembers Jacques Hamel, who on 4 years ago this month was brutally beheaded in the north of France while dispensing the pure body and precious blood of Jesus Christ? Islam has not only advanced by the sword, but continues to advance through migration without assimilation, like the python that swallows its prey slowly and with a long digestion. And while Western politicians may be in denial, the late Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi was not. In an address to throbbing thousands memorialized on television, he boasted of the millions of Muslims already in Europe. This, he said, is a certain sign that Allah will grant Islam victory in Europe without swords, without guns, without conquests. The 50 million Muslims in Europe will turn it into a Muslim continent within a few decades, he said, and 50 million Muslims is just the beginning. When Allah adds Turkey to the European Union, there will be 100 million Muslims in Europe. Gaddafi's words should not be cavalierly brushed aside. He was sadistic, but hardly stupid. He understood better than most that Europe is swiftly moving in the direction of self-extinction. A death wish born out of birth control, abortion, euthanasia, same-sex sexuality, transgenderism, and so forth. In other words, in nations such as Britain and Belgium, the native-born culture is dying out and a rapidly multiplying Muslim culture is filling the vacuum. That is precisely what Gaddafi had in mind. A civilization that is becoming Islamic demographically will inevitably succumb to Islam politically as well. There's no need to fly airplanes into buildings when, with patience, those same buildings can be yours. Think back to when Muslims renamed Constantinople Istanbul and replaced the cross adorning Hagia Sophia with a crescent. Had Gaddafi lived to see more than 1 million immigrants being admitted into Germany by Angela Merkel, he would no doubt have proudly donned the prophetic mantle. Gaddafi understood full well Western politicians like Joe Biden seem blithely not aware that from the fall of Constantinople, the Ottoman Empire advanced steadily into Europe. Their sights set on the wealth of Austria and Germany. It had not been for the leadership of Poland's King Jan Sobieski, who on September 11, 1683, halted the Muslim menace at the gates of Vienna Europe might already have been renamed Eurabia. All of this leads back to a singular question. Does Biden's assurance that Muslims share his principles of justice and progress, tolerance, and the dignity of all human beings fit with the facts? The answer, of course, is no. Indeed, there are at least seven reasons why his wish for U.S. schools to teach that Islam is a great confessional faith must never be realized. When we get back from the break, I'll give you those seven reasons. In the meantime, please recognize that I wrote a book on this subject titled Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. It is available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Get your copy on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back.
For all the debate over Islam and its growing presence in the world, one thing is often overlooked. Islam is not a religion in the sanitized Western sense. It is, in contrast, an all-encompassing socio-political legal matrix that has bred a worldview antagonistic to anything but itself. While there may be millions of peaceful and tolerant Muslims, many of them are neighbors, Islam itself is hardly peaceful and tolerant. Read Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Jackie Hill Perry used to be a lesbian. In Gay Girl, Good God, she shares her story of embracing masculinity and homosexuality with every fiber of her being. She knew the Christian worldview on sexual identity, but how was she supposed to stop loving women when homosexuality felt more natural to her than heterosexuality ever could? Ultimately, Jackie came face to face with what it meant to be made new. God broke in and turned her heart toward him, right in her own bedroom through the light of his gospel. Read Gay Girl, Good God in order to understand. Read in order to hope. Or read in order, like Jackie, to be made new. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. As mentioned at the outset of the broadcast recently, my wife showed me a clip of Joe Biden speaking to a million Muslim vote summit and telling them that he wished U.S. schools taught more about Islam and that he designated the Islamic faith as one of the great confessional faiths. And he made clear that he wasn't speaking as an average Joe, but rather as an avid student of theology, including Muslim theology. And as a result of that, I decided that I ought to give you at least 7 reasons why his wish for U.S. schools to teach Islam as a great confessional faith must never be realized. The first is that every Muslim, without exception, is committed to the Shahada. There is no God but Allah. And Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. But who is Muhammad, really? Muhammad, according to the most authoritative Muslim sources, married a 6-year-old girl and consummated the marriage when she was but 9. And arguably, the greatest of his conquests, he had a Jewish man beheaded, took his wife as booty, and after having her beautified, forced on her his bed. Moreover, his every stratagem of war paved the way for what 14 centuries later would be the fastest growing pseudo-religious cult in the world. Second, as Biden's study of the theology of Islam must surely have unveiled, unreliable revelations populate Quranic pages, including an overt denial of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Faulty ethics are similarly egregious, incredible but demonstrable. The Quran sanctions murder, adultery, stealing, false testimony, and even coveting. Third, Islam is not a religion in the Western sanitized sense of the word. Instead, it is a comprehensive socio-economic political juggernaut riding on the rails of Sharia. Sharia is state, and state is Sharia. In Islam, there simply is no distinction between Sharia and state. This is particularly troubling in that, among other atrocities, Sharia has enshrined inequity for women as a core value. According to Sharia, men can have multiple wives. Women are not afforded the same aberration. And as Biden must surely know, while Sharia allows a husband to beat his spouse, there is no such provision for a wife, nor can she initiate divorce. Only men can, and that with relative ease. Fourth, Sharia mandates proactive and perpetual war against Jews and Christians. First invite them to Islam, then invite them to pay the jizya. If they reject conversion and the jizya, then attack them. The consensus of Sharia law, in concert with the will of Allah, mandates war as a religious duty because of the universalism of the Muslim mission and the obligation to convert everyone to Islam either by persuasion or by force. And Biden devotees need not wonder what life is going to be like under Sharia during what cultural elites describe as the golden age of Islam. Sharia dictated virtually every aspect of public and private life, far from a portrait of Muslims, Jews, and Christians living in the midst of an Andalusian paradise. Non-Muslims were subject to the severity of Sharia. Their choice was simple: Shahada, subjugation, or sword. Fifth, according to Muslims, Islam is not a complement to the Judeo-Christian tradition, rather it deems itself the culmination of Judaism and Christianity, a culmination which Muhammad, not Jesus, is the climax of the prophets. Sixth, whether we realize it or not, the Muslim fundamentalism abolished by Mustafa Kemal Ataturk, the father of Turkey in 1924, has returned with a vengeance, and that in the midst of a crumbling post-Christian culture. One need look no further than to the rise of President Erdogan and his Justice and Development Party in today's Turkey, a Turkey which aims for a realized version of their own Ottoman imperial past, unconcerned with international disapproval. Erdogan's government continues its provocations against Greek Orthodox Christians. Moreover, Hagia Sophia is being used as a mosquish vehicle for the mobilization of Turkish nationalism, as well as a Muslim contrivance by which to legitimize neo-Ottomanism. Seventh and last, as Biden, the self-acclaimed expert on theology, surely knows, Islam renders Jesus Christ a mere slave of Allah. Original sin is recast as a mere bout of forgetfulness. The divine canon of Holy Scripture is subverted by the factual errors, by the faulty ethics, by the feigned eloquence of the Quran. The incomprehensible Trinity is usurped by a morally defective Unitarian imposter. Resurrection, the greatest feat in human history, is demoted to mere fantasy. And incarnation is demeaned as blasphemy. The scintillating truth that anyone in Christ is a new creation, well, it's negated by a capricious Allah. And eschatology, the thread that weaves the tapestry of Scripture into a harmonious pattern, is ignominiously sullied by the sensual enticements of a largely incoherent Islamic eschatological charade. And yet, despite such incoherence, the Muslim cult, 1,600,000,000 strong and growing, is poised to fill the vacuum left by a Western culture slouching inexorably towards Sodom. Worse still, Western leaders, academic institutions, and media outlets are bent on exporting a false narrative respecting the religious animus animating global Islamic jihadism. The despotism of militant egalitarianism, radical individualism, multiculturalism, political correctness, religious pluralism are not magically redeemed by political victories. Remember that. Because illiberal liberalism continues to hold sway in such countries and industries where educational and entertainment industries hold sway. And these industries are driving Western civilization in a very dangerous direction. The only real solution to a disintegrating West, to a resurgent Islam, is the power of the gospel. The antidote to Bidenism is the biblical commission to go out and make disciples of all nations. We live in an anti-Judeo-Christian moment, a moment in which Christianity is routinely ridiculed and Islam referred to, well, with reverential tones. Yet there is a solution, and that solution is the church. The task of the Christian church, a task that she and she alone can fill, is to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, and to do it with meekness and with reverence. But to do it. It is axiomatic that 21st century Christians are equipped to effectively counter ideologies. Ideologies such as illiberal liberalism and illicit Islam. And to pray fervently that Biden's wish that Islam be taught as one of the great confessional faiths is never realized. As mentioned, my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, is available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You can get your copy on the web at equip.org or by writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Thanks for tuning in to this special edition on Islam. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Did you know that the Quran and the Hadith are full of commands to subjugate or kill unbelievers, and that Sharia mandates proactive and perpetual war against Jews and Christians? In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.